Hey, 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 welcome to the First Time Home Buyer Workshop podcast with Julie Marion, episode number 3. Today, we're talking about interest rates. Now, as you may remember from our last podcast about the Federal Reserve, our homework assignment was to go in and visit 3 banks, one big international bank, a local bank, and a credit union. So if you have that information, you are armed with now what these different types of banks, meaning different types in the sense of their size, are offering the general public. This will be very helpful for you to understand how they arrive at those interest rates that they're offering you. And if you haven't gotten to it yet, just put it on your to-do list and catch up. It will be no problem. Last time we talked about the Federal Reserve and we discussed it from a bottom-up strategy. I think for this discussion, it's much easier to explain interest rates from the top down. We're going to start today with the Federal Reserve. Now, the Federal Reserve has plenty of money for banks to borrow from them. Now, why would a bank need to borrow from the Federal Reserve? Well, as you remember from last week's discussion, banks are heavily regulated and the Federal Reserve requires that banks have a certain amount of liquidity. They give them ratios where they have to have a certain amount of cash on hand so that we as a consumer, when we go to the bank, we are able to withdraw our funds. So let's use an example here. I think it's easier to understand it this way. So let's say I have a bank. No, actually, you know what? Let's say you're the banker and you have a plethora of customers coming in and depositing their paychecks biweekly. And then you also have some customers that are depositing their business transactions, and you have customers that get paid monthly. And each of these deposits are pretty consistent, but sometimes they're a little irregular, depending upon when these deposits are made. In contrast, you also have customers withdrawing funds from your bank. So the amount of cash on hand goes up and down. Well, the Federal Reserve requires that you have a certain ratio with respect to the amount of money that you are having deposited and the amount of money that's being withdrawn. And then other components of a bank would be the loan portfolios, where you are loaning people money in order for them to be able to purchase things like homes and cars and those types of purchases. And they're going to repay that principal along with the interest that you're going to be charging for the opportunity to be able to access your loan product. So let's say that these deposits and the amount of liquidity, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, are going up and down. And the Federal Reserve requires that you keep it at a constant, that you have a certain ratio that you must adhere to. So what do you do then? Well, there are several options available to you, and that starts our discussion at the very top with respect to the 8 types of interest rates that are available in our country. In the United States, there are several types of interest rates that play different roles in the economy. So let's talk about the interest rate that the Federal Reserve offers. So the Federal Reserve has plenty of money to loan banks to maintain their liquidity. It's always available. And they offer this service at a cost. And that cost is the interest rate that they charge banks that need to access this liquidity. That then translates into the interest rate called the discount rate. The discount rate, this is the interest rate that the Federal Reserve charges banks for borrowing funds directly from the Federal Reserve's bank account. Now, as any good banker that you are, the discount rate is a higher rate than the other opportunity that you have. And your other opportunity as a banker is to call up one of your colleagues, another bank, and ask them if you could borrow a certain amount of money from them overnight in order to meet your liquidity requirements imposed by the federal government. And the interest rate at which banks lend to one another in order to maintain their reserves is called the federal funds rate. The federal funds rate is set by the Federal Reserve's Federal Open Market Committee, and that federal funds rate is lower than the discount rate. So I guess you could say as a last resort, you could access the discount rate offered by the Federal Reserve, or you could go to one of your colleagues and implement the federal funds rate so that you meet the liquidity requirements. Now, there are several other interest rates that also influence the economy. One is something called the prime rate. And the prime rate is the interest rate that commercial banks charge their most creditworthy customers. Now, I always thought I was a creditworthy customer. I mean, I had good credit score and I had a steady job, but people aren't even part of the prime rate. The prime rate is reserved typically for large corporations, and the prime rate is often used as a benchmark for various other consumer and business loans, such as adjustable rate mortgages and credit cards. So we have the discount rate that is offered by the Federal Reserve, we have the federal funds rate that is offered bank to bank, and then we have the prime rate that is offered to corporations. Then we have some other interest rates as well. There are mortgage rates, and mortgage rates represent the interest charge on loans for purchasing or refinancing real estate. They are influenced by factors such as economic conditions, inflation, and the overall level of interest rates in the economy. There are also auto loan rates. These are the interest rates that are charged on loans for people purchasing automobiles, and they too can vary depending upon the factors such as the borrower's creditworthiness and the term of the loan, as well as prevailing market conditions. Credit card interest rates are also another source of interest rates, and credit card interest rates represent the cost of borrowing money through credit cards. They are typically higher than all of the other interest rates, due to the fact that they are an unsecured nature of credit debt. And it's an additional risk to lenders because some people don't pay back their credit card. There isn't any collateral secured with a credit card. Overall, in this whole interest rate discussion, there are three other areas where interest rates come into play. And that would be something called the Treasury bond yields. It's just expressed a little differently. They're expressed in a yield rather than a rate. But the Treasury bond yields are the interest rates on government-issued debt securities, such as Treasury bills, notes, and bonds. When you buy a Treasury bond, you are then being paid a specific interest rate because the government borrowed your money. And that also goes to the discussion about certificates of deposit or CD rates. CDs are time deposits where you deposit a certain amount of money for a certain time frame, and the bank in which is borrowing your money is going to pay you a specific interest rate depending upon the term length and the prevailing market condition or the market interest rate that is being paid. Then there is another area called the savings account rate, and these are interest rates that are offered by banks and credit unions on savings accounts, and they tend to be lower than the rates on CDs, but they do provide more liquidity because at any time you can go in and withdraw your money from your savings account. Now, when you did your homework assignment from last time, you were to go into three banks and find out what mortgage rates they were offering you at the one large international bank, a local bank, and a credit union. And while you were doing that research, the bankers probably offered you a variety of different products. Sometimes banks offer different types of products on their mortgages. And so, for example, let's say that they were offering you a 15-year fixed rate, but then you also saw something like there is points that you could obtain. Well, points are a way for you to buy down the interest rate. Well, points are equal to 1% of your total loan amount. For example, on a $100,000 loan, 1 point would be $1,000. So if you chose a mortgage where you could have 1 point, you could bring another $1,000 on a $100,000 loan and you would get a lower interest rate. Same thing if there were 2 points that were available. Now, some banks don't offer this at all, and some banks do. So you have to check into the types of loan products each bank offers. So let's talk a little bit more about interest rates. Yes, interest rates are a very important component of the overall mortgage that you're obtaining. However, and I say however, if you talk to anyone that has bought a house in the 1970s, you will hear things like, We were paying 13% for our interest rates. And then you talk to someone who bought a house in the 90s and the interest rate was around 8%. And then you talk to someone who was buying a house in the 2000s and the interest rates were at 3 or 4%. Now, in each scenario, yes, the interest rate move, right? The interest rates move definitely because the Federal Reserve increases or decreases the interest rates based on what's happening in the overall economy. But one thing that's left out when you talk with people about when they bought their house, everyone remembers when they bought their house and at what rate. However, the one part that they're leaving out, they're just talking about the interest rate, right? But they're not correlating the house price or their salary. And those are two huge components. When people are talking about interest rates, you also have to compare apples to apples. So it not only depends upon what the interest rate is, it depends what the house price is and what your salary is. So overall, don't get so hung up on the interest rate and making that a reason not to buy a house or to buy a house. Make this house purchase, this home purchase, more about you and your lifestyle and what your long-term goals are. Don't make it all about the interest rate. Buying a piece of property just because you're getting a low interest rate doesn't always mean that it is the right decision for you. You're the only one that can make that choice for yourself. So there you have it. Your 15 minutes of home buying knowledge. Just another acorn to put in your home buyer jar. In the next podcast, we're going to talk about amortization schedules, what they are, and how it affects you in your home buying wealth. And most important, what you can do about it. Now, usually I give a homework assignment here, but I think this time I'm going to give you a little bit of a break and suggest that if you haven't listened to podcast 1 or 2, go back and listen to those and catch up with us so you can see what we're talking about and how it will really help you. If you want me to email you the link to the next podcast, go to our website, thefirsttimehomebuyerworkshop.com, and sign up for our weekly email where we will email you the link to this podcast. Also on the website, you will see our free class entitled Home Buying Chaos Unwrapped for those of you that are close to starting your home buying journey and want to kickstart the process. Go ahead and sign up for that. That class explains who does what and why. So as soon as you walk into an open house, fill out a form or call a banker, you are in charge. We also have a paid class. But, well, first, honestly, I want you to get to know me and see if what I'm talking about is really helping you. There are so many gray areas in real estate, and I believe this is where home buyer's remorse can start. You, my friend, have been promoted to CEO of your home buying journey even if you didn't know it. It's pretty scary if you don't know exactly what you're doing. So stick around here and you will become knowledgeable and super informed. Until next time, from the team at the First Time Home Buyer Workshop with Julie Marion, bye for now.